Little Movies. I'm telling my friend Charlotte that Barbara and I are going to New York, where I hope not to spend a whole lot of money in fancy restaurants. And Charlotte tells me she was just in New York herself, but didn't spend much money on food because, quote, I was with a group of pregnant women. I can see them now as they decide between the goat cheese salad and the hummus, the hearts of palm and the orange glazed shrimp with spicy walnut crumble, as the waiter says, can I interest you ladies in a mimosa, Bloody Mary, glass of Prosecco? And they say, no, not this time, maybe in a few months. Barbara asked her hairdresser if she plans to have children, and the hairdresser says she's leaning the other way because she works on a lot of young mommies and, quote, they're just not selling it. Then again, parenthood isn't about joy. Studies show that parents report significantly lower levels of happiness, life satisfaction, marital satisfaction, and mental well-being compared with non-parents. Why do it then? Why have children at all? Probably because children add narrative to a life that doesn't have one, or add more narrative to a life that is actually pretty rich in narrative already, or seems as though it may never have a narrative at all. Did you know that even aliens love stories? The woman who claims to have interviewed the alien whose ship crashed in Roswell, New Mexico in 1947 said that the creature's favorite books were Alice's Adventures in Wonderland, Don Quixote, and Thousand and One Nights, all stories of great spirit, great power, great images. Tom Petty says, a good song should give you a lot of images. You should be able to make your own little movie in your head to a good song. And the same is true of stories. A man had a peacock, says playwright Tom Stoppard, and the man was shaving one morning. And in the morning, he sees the peacock atop the garden wall and about to jump to the other side. So the man drops his razor and he races out just as the bird reaches the motorway and starts to leg it to God knows where. And he catches it after 100 yards or so and puts the peacock under his arm and starts home. So the story ends happily. But in the meantime, a good half dozen cars have sped by and their occupants have seen a man clad only in pajama pants, his face covered by shaving foam, carrying a peacock. What did they think? That the man had lost a bet on a rugby match, perhaps, and now he has to walk from Whitby to Berwick-upon-Tweed with the foam on his face and the bird under his arm? Or that he belongs to a cult religion that worships shaving, partial nudity, and peacocks, and he's on his annual pilgrimage? Or that he's been slipped a powerful drug by his wife's lover, who is sending the man out into the world this way so that he will appear deranged and spend the rest of his days in a care home while the two lovers squander the man's considerable fortune. All lives end the same way. Between the start and the finish, it's the stories that count. May we all say what the poet Edward Field did when his partner of long standing died, and Field tells us that, quote, we were together for 58 years. It was so wonderful that I don't mind being by myself for a while and reflecting on our life together. I am so grateful. Charlotte laughs as she tells me about her pregnant friends, and I love thinking of all that life around the table. And then I ask Charlotte if she plans to have children, and she wags her finger at me as if to say, wouldn't you like to know?